Back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We've been buying and selling all forms of rare coins and precious metals now for, like I said, recently. I think we just passed the 21-year mark, close to it. I started up in, I think, mid-96. So, yeah, 21 years. Those 21 years have gone fast. What an interesting experience God's given me in that area. It's pretty awesome. It's kind of cool. It's very interesting. And the business has become fairly solid, I guess. We really don't even advertise anymore. And we seem to stay alive. We appreciate the business. We do a lot of investment guidance and leadership. A lot of real strong Christian audience, conservative. I appreciate it. It's interesting. Once in a blue moon, we get a kind of a left-leaning liberal in here, and we try to be polite. But a while ago, I had an employee that couldn't contain himself when a gal was in here just ranting and raving against Trump and carrying on about what a great person Hillary was. And we keep ourselves fairly abreast of what is going on in the real world. And so he just started to, you know, and I mean, I pretty much forbid my guys from obviously getting into political debates with people. Customer's always right. We try to work that angle. But he started to have, you know, just a very intellectual, very professional dialogue. And interesting how people on the foolish side of, or the anti-wisdom group, I guess you can call it, are so defensive and so unwilling to discuss things rationally. They get so tied up in their politics, okay? The problem, not that it really is a problem, but the bind that we're in as believers is we're believing in, fighting for, defending life and death. I mean, we're fighting for God, right? And I mean, we're not jihadists per se. We don't say if you disagree with us, we can blow you up. But I mean, when you're talking about things like abortion, and you know, all this illegal immigration garbage, where they just constantly convolute legal with illegal immigration. I mean, what is up with that? Why live? Who wants to live in such a deceptive state as to constantly lie, to twist truth, intentionally twist truth to, quote, win an argument? You know what I mean? It's like, it just doesn't make sense to me, I guess, maybe because I love truth. If you love God, I suppose you love truth. So along the illegal immigrant line, there's quite a few things going on right now that is an issue to me. We've got this Kate Steinle case. Well, I want to talk about taxes in the market too, so we'll do that in a minute. Kate Steinle, you guys may be familiar with this. It's hot news all over. But Kate Steinle is the gal that was killed in San Francisco by an illegal immigrant who had been deported 6 times. I mean, listen to these facts, folks. Take them in. Illegal immigrant, deported 6 times. He is a 7-time felon, okay? Felonies are not misdemeanors. I mean, everybody that, you know, maybe doesn't know Christ like me when I was younger, don't get me wrong, I do now, but when I was in college, I did some dumb stuff. I had misdemeanors. I used to like to drink a little too much, and I was a tough guy. I grew up on the streets, and if people crossed me wrong, I wasn't afraid to draw a line and fight for justice. There was many times I defended smaller people or whatever, and I had brushes with the law. You know, to be candid, I did. I just used to like to get a little crazy, and You know, so that kind of stuff's understandable. I mean, I think it's part of humanity. If you don't think it's understandable, try on the statistic that 1 out of 7 men in America have been incarcerated at one point in time. Part of that is because our legal system is so out of control. We've got laws that are, you know, I've mentioned drug laws, and I've gotten some really harsh hate emails and people that just rip on me about, I don't understand how destructive drugs are on families. Folks, believe me, I do. Thinking that God has let me experience everything in life. The drugs, myself, when I was younger, family members. I grew up, my dad was a bail bondsman. All we did is deal with people that were struggling with drugs. I get it. It's not about what drugs do to people when we talk about drug laws. This is what they do to brainwash you. We put literally hundreds of billions of dollars into the drug war every year. How are we doing? I'm sure we say, oh, but if we didn't, it would be worse. Would it? I mean, would it really be worse? I don't think it would. I think it'd be better. Why? Do research. Do research on the CIA's involvement in drug trafficking and drug trade. They will do the most heinous volume, the most heinous activities and highest volume of drug transportation and cash laundering to get the big guys that you can even could ever imagine. It's an absolute, it's mind-boggling what they have gone to over history. There's a movie out recently with Tom Cruise called American Made. True story about a pilot. I can't remember his name. You know, just, you got to, I mean, it's a pretty heavy movie, or, you know, it's intense. They take a true story. I watch that stuff because we have family connections. I know people that were involved in it. And it's really weird because there's all these puzzle pieces. There's the movie Kill the Messenger with Jeremy Renner, who kind of digs it up from a different angle. And he finds out about the billions of dollars of cash that are being funneled back to Nicaragua. We've got a family friend who is a retired colonel who was stationed in Nicaragua with Oliver North when all of this activity was going on. I know one of the pilots that was running packages from the U.S. to Central America for the CIA, who is a private source that they can't locate now when they're doing these movies and trying to verify activity, etc. So the stuff interests me. We even have another family friend who was a flight instructor at what they call the Top Gun School. Back in the 80s, there was a Top Gun movie about it, again with Tom Cruise. And a friend of our family's was, my dad owned part of a charter service with him, a charter service, you know, with helicopter and aircraft type stuff. But anyway, he flew for the government in and out packages. And, you know, as far as he knew, I mean, there was nothing illegal. I don't even know. I don't think they ask. I think they literally think it's, you know, legit. And in a lot of cases, it probably was. But I know a lot of this stuff. So when you watch, if you watch that movie American Made, it does have some, you know, some stuff in it that's over the top, definitely. But it's interesting, I think. So I'll quit babbling about that. But the CIA has been the number one contributor to high-volume drug trade in the world. Even Oliver North was selling, he was moving drugs into the United States through the CIA, who would then sell them through a big kingpin. In exchange, they would get this kingpin, whatever the name is for a top drug dealer. And he would basically narc everybody off below him. He would inform on everybody, get all these people arrested that technically were doing drug deals because the CIA was funding it. So in order, he would do that in exchange for immunity. They would fly cash back into Central America. This is what the pilots that I knew were doing, I suspect. All they knew is they had big packages. They'd fly them back in. The cash was going to fund the freedom fighters in Nicaragua. You remember the Sandinistas and the freedom fighters. And, of course, neither side was innocent. It was just a mess. One side said they were communists. The other side said they were for freedom, democracy, and that was it. We were nuts. I mean, Oliver North was just absolutely zealous. And so you say you're communist and we're automatically against you. I'm not saying communism is okay. I'm just saying neither side was good at all. They were both just as bad, I think, from my understanding. Oliver North was also transporting drugs that he had seized in Central America. They had warehouses full of drugs, huge quantities that Oliver North oversaw down there. He was transferring drugs to Russia in mass quantities, selling them for 20 cents on the dollar, one, you know, a fifth of what they're worth, to the Russian mob in order to, so the mob could sell it, get a lot of money, arm themselves well, put a bunch more pressure on the Russian government. And they say that that's the backdoor method that we use to bring Russia down during the Cold War. During the Cold War, everybody thinks, you know, they went broke in an arms race, which they did, but a lot of it was because their resources were going to fight the mob. In addition to that, he did the Iran-Contra affair where he was trading, cash from drug sales in the U.S. for arms and everything. You get the picture. There was a lot going on, a lot of high-end organized crime. At the center of it was the drug war. They used the drug war to justify everything. The one out of seven adult males that have been incarcerated, the vast majority of them are for nonviolent crimes like drug possession and things like that. Drugs are bad. They do bad. They hurt people. I get it. We do have the freedom, however, I think, or at least the God-given right to mistreat our own bodies. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm libertarian-minded. I mean, I'm not. One thing that I've really pondered philosophically over time, you cannot legislate morality. I'm sure the avid listener to my show knows I've got hard, firm, and fast morals that I believe in, that I would love to see implemented in government. I love to see them implemented, but we've got to be so careful about what we legislate, because the problem that happens inevitably is you get zealots or you get government turnovers. So if you pass a bunch of laws that basically impose Judeo-Christian views and beliefs, which is what we're based on, and then all of a sudden we get an influx and an overflowing, a fatwa, if you will, of Islamic migration, shocker, we're there, and they take over enough government, and then all of a sudden they start to rise up, and they end up in the presidential office, which we've technically already had one Muslim in there, haven't we? I mean, legitimately. I don't care what they say. When the Quran absolutely commands them to lie, cheat, or steal to further the advancement of Allah, and we know Obama did that, I mean, we are in jeopardy. Obama refused, folks, on any holiday card. See, now I'm saying it. On any Christmas card to ever say Merry Christmas, it was Happy Holidays. Even his tree didn't honor Christmas at all. And so we've already had that one brush. I think probably as far as atheistic views go, Obama's probably as bad as it gets. He might have been a highly righteous man as far as self-righteous, but he wasn't biblically righteous. I don't think his heart was in the right place. In fact, I know he was so firmly driven on cultural Marxism, and the damage that he did is so bad that were paying for it today. That's when I started out with the Kate Steinle topic today. Hang on, I'm doing. You probably figured out the other day I was sitting there trying to fix some recording device while I was recording, and I'm telling you, it's so hard to talk and type and work on a computer at the same time. I'm not very good at it, so you got to bear with me once in a while. I'm just poor little old me. I don't have a studio of people running around fixing things like other radio show hosts. How about hosts? So anyway, what we've got going on, and it is the direct result of Obama, is I talked about Kate Steinle, okay, murdered by an illegal immigrant, deported six times, and a seven-time felon. I discussed felonies are serious crimes. These are people that generally a felony, and I'm sure there's exceptions, but generally in my mind, a felony means that you violated somebody else's personal rights. That's a problem, okay? And what I mean by that is, okay, say, you know, auto theft, grand theft, larceny, arson, burglary, assault, robbery, you know, rape. I don't know, but you start adding them up. Every one of them has a what we call a victim, okay? There's white-collar crime that some argue are victimless crimes, and in general, sometimes they kind of are. The money always ends up coming from somewhere, but when you're on the Federal Reserve System, there's a possibility that kind of there is a victimless crime. Ultimately, the debt goes on the back of everybody, but it may be unnoticeable in small quantities. With regular felonies, non-federal type white-collar crime, there's a victim every single time. That means when that person's around, people's lives are at risk, people's freedoms are at risk. And the problem is you should be able to walk down the street any time of day or night and feel safe and know that someone's not going to violate your rights by mugging you and stealing your wallet and maybe killing you. You should be able to own your house and have your property line and know that you have the rights to, you know, happiness and the ownership of property. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was originally written as life, liberty, and the ownership of property. They avoided it because they didn't want to offend the slaves. There's so many things, sadly, that our founders didn't suspect we'd ever do. Some of the word twisting and wordsmithing that our politicians have done is beyond anything our founders would have ever dreamt. When I watched the Clinton situation go down, and I thought for sure this was it, okay? And then he came down. He was charged with the Lewinsky deal, and I thought for sure he was done. And then as he began this spinning and refusal to step down, and then the left adheres to whatever narrative gets put out by their, you know, whatever, their leadership or their dog whistlers or whoever it is, dog handlers maybe. And all of a sudden, the left started to argue that what he does in his personal life has no impact on his business life. I think you and I know that's not true at all. Morality is a universal principle. You're either moral or you're not. You cannot switch it on and switch it off. Immorality is a cancer. Morality is a flower garden. But immorality is a cancer. It does not just affect your life from 5:30 p.m. until 8 a.m. or whatever it is. In addition, when you're the president of the United States, the people own you. They have you. You have no freedom per se because you're a servant. You're the highest ranking servant of the American public. 24/7. So when Clinton started to spin this and spin it and you know, listen to me clearly. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And we watched him pull everything off, get impeached, and stay in office, and just show disdain against the system, against his political opponents, and whatnot. This is where Hillary learned her games. This is where Hillary learned to never back down. And she is as callous as they come, okay? Well, Obama was a rock. I mean, that guy had a chip of arrogance that would absolutely blow your mind. I think there was things about him on a worldly basis that were relatively functional, but his personal pride and arrogance was unfathomable, unbelievable. He had a clear agenda. And that agenda, in the loosest of terms, was cultural Marxism filled with Black liberation theology, okay? And now, I mean, what have we been taught? You know, anytime you say anything about a person of anything other than white Protestant, I don't care if they're gay, transsexual, bi, whatever they do it, black, brown, yellow, doesn't matter. You disagree with them, what? You're a racist. You're homophobic, xenophobic, genophobic, whatever phobic. Okay, it's just this massive division he introduced us to over an 8-year period of time. You get like Trayvon Martin, shot down by whatever his name was, Frank Zimmerman or something Zimmerman. And you've got Justine Waters or whatever her name is, the black congresswoman who's the craziest nut job on Capitol Hill, saying Trayvon was shot down like a dog in the streets, you know, and it's racist and, you know, and all this stuff. So Obama started this and fed this rhetoric. Sadly, Trump is not the guy to stop it, obviously, right? I mean, Trump is an antagonist at best. He is a street brawler who lacks diplomacy. And I don't want you to get me wrong. I have to support him because that's what we got. And I will tell you along those lines as well, this whole attitude where you vote for no one because nobody represents you, what you believe, and in turn, your lack of a vote is a vote for the opposition party. You are carrying the responsibility of those people getting in office. Don't lie to yourselves. You don't just have to vote for somebody. You can very, very well vote against somebody. And in the case of the elections, in the last decade at least, you should be out there doing it. I get so irritated with believers that have this attitude that if somebody doesn't fit their every desire, they won't vote for them. Folks, first of all, if Jesus Christ came and ran for office, you wouldn't vote for him because it wouldn't be his skill set. Okay. I mean, it's a fact. Jesus wouldn't be able to be hired as a pastor in 99.5% of the churches in America, because he wouldn't have a degree and he wouldn't have the proper experience on his resume and he wouldn't have gone through the counseling classes and, you know, and he probably wouldn't have kissed people's derrieres like corporate America requires. So don't let yourself get too self-righteous. It's okay to vote against something. If you're voting in God's eyes, he knows your heart, by the way. The Bible always says that. You can give whatever reasons, I think it's Proverbs says, you can give every reason, in fact, it may be Proverbs 18, but anyway, every reason in the book for why you do something. And I think God says in the Bible, you can say you did it for this or that reason, but it says he weighs your heart. He knows your heart. So it doesn't matter what you do on the outside. It matters what's going on the inside. And so when it comes election time, vote against evil. Vote for conservatism. If you think of the issues that you probably disagree with them on, in a lot of cases, they're passable. They're irrelevant. Especially when, like I said, it's abortion, homosexual marriage, dishonoring the biblical commandments towards marriage and family, and so on. You know, saying that a child that is raised in a lesbian home is just as healthy, or adopted and raised, is just as healthy as a child who's born into a heterosexual family. Not true at all. In fact, statistically, since that's my basic background, my primary education and work when I got out was statistical analysis. And you can cook numbers so hard. There was some study that came out a while ago that tried to say that children who were essentially raised in daycare did better than children who were raised at home with their parents or with a stay-at-home mom, okay? Because they want to push this. Women, get women in the workplace, defeminize them. Feminize the males, masculinate the females, right? We've got women rising up on this sexual harassment stuff, just crushing America right now. So here's the problem with that study. So I went and did a little research on the study. I'm like, where did you come up with that? Okay. It doesn't make sense. So here's what they did. They went to an area near a college, and I can't remember the city, but I wish I could remember it. And they did sampling within a certain circular radius. Okay, here's the deal. Who puts their kids in daycare in this area, and who stays home with their kids? Okay, so here's what I discovered. It's one of the highest welfare recipient areas per capita in the U.S. It wasn't Detroit, but it was something like that. So here's the deal. So they take the statistical sample, and you got to watch this with statistics. I learned all this in college, and folks, the average person doesn't even cross their mind. They just take numbers, right? So if you pick a circle and you say, okay, we're going to sample at random women, mothers, and find out, are their kids in daycare or did they stay home with them when they were growing up? How are they doing in life? How are they doing in school? Well, within this radius, the kids that were in daycare were from a very affluent, successful part of town. So these kids that are being, and this is all within a circular radius, 30 miles, the kids that were in daycare are coming from very affluent homes. And what happens is after these kids are young and they're in daycare, they move on to their private schools. They have parents who respect, perhaps, being intelligent and speaking properly and maybe living a little better, like God intends us to do. And the children that were staying at home with their moms were from, again, within the same radius, but they were the ones from the part of town that was saturated with welfare and poverty and government housing. So this is how you skew statistics. So they say, look, these kids, all within the same city area, these kids that were raised at home with mom, they're failing. They're doing poor in school. They're more involved in crime. These kids that went to daycare, they're doing better. Okay? Now, most people statistically don't put that together, but this is the kind of rubbish that goes on with statistics. You think that's bad? You should see what pharmaceutical companies do. They literally propose the side effects that they're going to observe before a drug study begins, and that is all they report on. If there is just an excessively overwhelming prevalence of another side effect, it will get mentioned in the footnotes, but it has to be so profound that it affects the completion of the study. That's just one flaw. The other flaw with FDA drug studies is the FDA doesn't do it. No. Who do they have do it? They have the pharmaceutical company that creates the drug, that wants the drug to get through and approved. They have them do their own studies and just submit the results to the FDA. Of course, they hire independent officials or independent individuals, whatever you want to call it, in order to do the statistical analysis. But two things. One, a statistician can only process what you give him. Number two, perhaps they make the position so desirable intentionally, internal corporate reward. You play well with us and we're going to continue to feed you these jobs and we are going to overpay you dearly. In some cases, I know back in the day when I was in the actuarial business in the 90s, you could become an independent contractor doing these exact things. You could get up to, at the time, $5,000 a day in the early 90s to be an independent statistician for drug studies once the company adopted you. When you started out in the early 90s, you still were getting like $500 a day. Now, I'm telling you, folks, you can triple that number today. So back then, as an entry-level statistician, now it was a tenured system, of course, because you had to prove yourself before you could move your way up. Once you're in, you're getting the equivalent of today's income, $1,500 a day just to start. After you're there for X number of years, you can get up to our today's spending equivalent of $15,000 a day. Well, don't you think people get a little skewed? They don't want to give that up. They also, L&I also does this with IMEs, independent medical experts, where they take somebody who's been maimed, beat up, and they send them to an IME, and the IME says, oh no, this person's fine. This person can work. You would be shocked on our disability system how badly people who need it can't get it, and people who never need it get it. It's interesting, to say the least. So don't be fooled by statistics when, you know, they tell you this or that. Now, that was all talking about felonious activity. I'll try to buzz a little better here. You can tell it's a little impossible for me. I apologize. Oh, one other thing I want to talk about. I better get on this. Let's write this down. Okay, so let's try to get through some facts. Kate Steinle yesterday, was not exonerated. This illegal immigrant that killed her, I don't have his name. I can look it up. Let's see. I'm almost there. Let's see who it was. His name was, I don't know. We'll get it soon. So anyway, this guy who killed Kate Steinle, they keep calling him in all these articles a Mexican man. I think we know that. But anyway, so he gets acquitted of all charges all the way down to basically negligent homicide. Unintentionally killing her. Their argument all along was that it was an accident. Now, this is San Francisco. You guys are probably familiar with their superior court dealings. I think it's the 9th district that is so ridiculous that their rulings are just so radical. They're just absolutely crazy. But let me look that up too. I'm kind of just bouncing. I'm not doing a very good job. My apologies. So anyway, so San Francisco makes a statement, a political statement through their jury decision yesterday, and they essentially don't even charge the guy with even negligent homicide, third degree, even though he says that it is an accident. Okay, so here's how this accident happened. The accident is that this guy's been deported 6 times and come back into our nation. The accident is he's a 7-time felon that's been deported 6 times and keeps coming back to our nation. The accident is that the local authorities had apprehended a 7-time felon, illegal immigrant, who'd been deported 6 times, and ICE commanded them to turn him over, and they refused and released a 7-time felon, 6-time deported, illegal immigrant into the populace of their sanctuary city. They refused to work with the feds. Now, you got to understand, there are the enumerated powers from the federal government, from the Constitution, that are given to our government and the president. And one of those is to specifically protect our borders. The president is single-handedly responsible. So as president of the United States, number one, he gets a lot of information you and I never will. When he made the comment about the violent outbreak in Charlottesville, and he said there were some very good people there and blah, 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 and everyone went up in arms and said he's a white supremacist. No, I watched a lot of videos. That whole episode was created by an intentional group that pulled up in a bus. Out of that bus, not only came Ku Klux Klan members supposedly dressed in their white garb, but also Black Lives Matter. They got off the same bus. Okay. It was an orchestrated event put together for Hollywood, all designed this way. Trump's inside information gave us this data. He's never going to give up the fact that he's got a lot of information you and I don't get. Intel that you can't imagine. As a matter of fact, they have satellite imagery that they can go back and replay anything they want anywhere in the U.S. they want at any time. They know what's going on. They're not going to volunteer their methods. So this guy gets out. On top of the fact that I've repeated, he is a 6-time deported, 7-time felon who's now getting released from the law enforcement officials in San Francisco, contrary to the requests and legal authority of our federal government, ICE. He then steals a gun from the vehicle of a federal official. Now, this is where his attorneys are saying he found it on the ground and all that, but the evidence doesn't say so whatsoever. But, well, the truth of it is he stole the gun. There's no gun on the ground. So he goes and he takes this gun, and according to him, he accidentally discharges it, and the bullet accidentally ricochets off the ground, kills Kate Steinle while she's walking with her father arm in arm. And he holds her in his arms as he watches her die. Now, if all of that were true, and let's say it was true, let's say he didn't steal the gun, which he did, but just say he didn't. Let's say he just picked up the gun, says, I've never shot a gun, and he's walking with the gun, and it accidentally discharges and kills somebody. Are you innocent of everything? No. You should at the very least be charged with negligent homicide, okay? And he should have, but he wasn't, because then the attorneys, rather than coming out with humility, they come out, one of them to me appeared to be very gay. And you might say, what difference does that make? It makes every difference in the world, because it has everything to do with perception, everything to do with political position. And he comes out, and they both attorneys begin to Trump bash and lecture the president of the United States about the precedent set or the message sent out by this ridiculous ruling. OK, Okay. So the problem with this is now we have set a precedent. That's a precedent. That you can be an illegal immigrant, come into this country, do pretty much whatever you want, and get off. If he was not an illegal immigrant, he would have never got off. If he was white, he would have never got off. And folks, the fact of the matter is, if you say anything, if blacks say black power, then they're heroes. Can you imagine whites saying white power? They're white supremacists. We are living in a flip-flop world, okay? So people are sick over this Kate Steinle ruling. Now, on one hand, I look at this and I say, what an absolute shame. This is definitely the byproduct of what Obama committed to do in fundamentally transforming this nation, creating division, creating a narrative of absolute vitriol. You know, it's black against white, rich against poor, Democrat against liberal. I mean, and then it has to become veterans against non-veterans and people who are for kneeling in the NFL and people who are against kneeling in the NFL. And, you know, on and on it goes. Women against men, you know, children against parents. And it just doesn't end, does it? I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. This is cultural Marxism. It's critical theory. Destroy us from within. Ram this nation through a blender. We need unity. Interesting that all of this really accelerated post 9/11. 9/11, we needed to unite. It was all that they could do for the left to keep their mouth shut for a few weeks. It was hard for them. We're still seeing this. Whenever some terrible tragedy comes, they cannot pass up the opportunity to politicize the heck out of it. It's out of control. This is wrong. So that's one view. Another view that I've got is this. God's God. God's in control. He's got huge plans. Perhaps the vitriol and anger and disgust of this ruling, which was intended to send a message to Trump and his constituency, if you will, may have infuriated the rest of the populace just enough to push them over the edge, just enough to actually begin to pass some effective legislation against illegal immigration. Let's hope. Okay, we need that big time. Bill O'Reilly tried to pass Kate's law. The Congress shut it down. I mean, folks, granted, politicians are politicians, but I'm learning. These men don't budge. They don't change. They're bureaucrats. They make a really, really crazy good income. They make $170,000 a year. They get access to the finest investment guidance and the finest attorneys on planet Earth. I mean, they are spoon-fed this stuff at no charge to themselves. Then we get into, you know, this sexual harassment frenzy that's going on. What makes me the angriest about that is people's perspective of what did or did not happen is being affected by their political view. People look at Al Franken, the ex-Saturday Night Live supposed comedian, who's just an angry, hateful, raging lefty, who's been the rudest, most destructive, vile force, not the, but top 10 in the in the Senate. Terribly high, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so they look at it and they go, oh yeah, it's wrong. Roy Moore, meh, not so. But here's the problem, and one thing I'm so sick and tired of is they can't look at each case independently. Roy Moore's charges are from 40 years ago, literally 40 years, okay? In addition to that, he was never convicted of anything. He's asked for the yearbook that he supposedly signed to have autograph experts determine if it's his, which, you know, they refused to give up. But the point is, no two cases are alike. So Al Franken, okay, from what I know, the guy goofs around too much. Crude humor is never too much for a comedian. And my belief, and you may disagree with this harshly, is, I mean, obviously I'd love to see the guy out of there, out of the Senate, and I'd love to see a conservative replace him. God may be using it for that. In his case, I don't see that he did anything overly violating someone's personal space. He, of course, took a silly, not to defend it, picture of a military gal while she slept on a plane. That's like one newscaster called it mock groping. Okay, not groping, but mock groping. And I've heard that really mocked by other news anchors, but that, in my opinion, is really what he was doing. I think he should get a warning. I think someone like Roy Moore, if he gets elected, needs to be accepted by the Senate or the Congress. I forgot what the heck he's running for. You'd think I'd know that. He's from Alabama, and he's getting vetted like you can't believe over these sexual harassment allegations from 40 years ago, claiming that when he was a young district attorney, he had a thing for high school girls, that he was forever trying to connect with high school girls or whatever. Apparently he liked younger women. Or he felt confident or whatever, I don't know. Or he had the hots for one of them and the rest of them got exposed as a result. Like I said, I don't know. But it was 30 years ago. The man has served for 30 solid years without incident one. He's ran for office 8 times and this has never come up. To me, you discard that. It's out there. We know it. Another charge comes up, he's gone. Conyers, the black left-wing radical socialist nutcase Democrat, 86 or 7 or 8 years old, pervert. I mean, just crazy stuff. Running around the office in his underwear and other things that are just tasteless and disgusting. People say he's losing his mind. He's a radical lefty. Folks, if you have no compass, you're done. If you don't know God and you don't have a set of absolute morals, you're done. And that's what happens to these people. The problem is they get covered up. You saw initially Nancy Pelosi, the previous Speaker of the House, was essentially, I apologize. She first tried to defend him too much. When the pressure from women became too great, she backed down and said he needed to resign. Guys like that need to go. There's no doubt. It's obvious. And it isn't a political witch hunt. It shouldn't be. We do need to clean up true sexual harassment big time. It's time to add morality. But the problem is, like for in Timothy, where it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. These people are getting self-righteous. I saw feminists on Fox News elated with joy, rejoicing that finally men are getting their comeuppance. And folks, that's not what we want. Love is what? You know, we know the Bible. If you're a believer, that is, you should know the Bible and you should care what it says. And, you know, it's very clear that God is love. Am I right? Okay, so as a believer, we don't want to see bad happen. We want to see good happen. You get it? Somebody does something really bad, we want to see good. We want to see him punished, maybe, but we want to see good. If we focus on good, we do a lot better. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 13, where God is love and love the Lord your God and all that, that's not in there, but that's the point. God is love. We know that the fruits of the Spirit are what? Number one, love, right? And then, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, which is pretty impressive, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know every mystery and I have all knowledge, okay, that's pretty good. That's better than Solomon. And I have all faith and so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. He's basically saying, if I have the gift of prophecy, you take every prophet from the Old Testament, he's like, if I'm better than that, and I have more wisdom than Solomon, and basically the knowledge of God, I know all mysteries. If I have all faith, enough to move a mountain, as Jesus said. Basically, he's saying, if I'm the top of the top of the top, if I'm Jesus Christ, which is impossible without love, and he says, but I have love, I got nothing. He says, if I give up every single thing I have to feed the poor, I surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Then he goes on, what? Love is patient. Love is kind. No, that's, yeah. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It does not brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own way. It's not provoked. It does not take into account wrongs suffered. It doesn't say, well, you did this to me, now I'm going to do it to you. Love doesn't ever respond and say, well, you started it. Love looks at itself. It says it does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. That's what the desire is when we see these things happening. We just want the truth. We don't want unrighteousness. We don't want bad to happen. God doesn't want you thinking that way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Folks, think about it. People go through hell and back with a cheating spouse. I was talking to a gal a while ago about it. And she's like, I just feel like a fool. You know, he's done it a few times, and it's been a number of years. I mean, literally, I think the last time was like 14 years ago. Supposedly, they've cleaned up everything, and everything's been great-ish, except for he was telling me, this was actually a while ago when I was counseling marriages for people, for a church, and he's like, she just constantly accuses, and she's jealous, and all this stuff, and it never ends. And she's like, I just don't want to get burned again. I don't want to be a fool. I feel like a fool if I trust him and get burned. And I'm like, no, it's just the opposite. Your job is to believe all things. If someone fails, it's not on you, it's on them. And this is something we need to remember, spouses. It is not our job to pound our spouse into the ground with every mistake they've made. They've got their own conscience. They've got the Holy Spirit. They've got to deal with it. Especially, you take a couple that I'm familiar with where the husband's a super high achiever, stressed out all the time, puts all this pressure on himself. He's carrying way too big of a load. And the wife always has to remind him of everything he's doing wrong. He's not getting enough sleep. He's not spending enough time with the family. He's not doing this. He's in a business situation where he's in a bind, you know? And his comment to me was like, man, you know, like she doesn't think I already know that. He's like, this is all I ever think about. It's my life. I'm trying to get things fixed. We don't need to do that. We need to encourage one another, folks. That's what we've got to do, is encourage. Bring out good. Think positive. Don't think negative. Think positive. And this is what he's saying when we see evil go down. We need to believe all things and hope all things, etc. Hey, I'm short on time, and I hate this. One thing I want to touch on, I've got a bunch of notes here today. Debt. I've had a few people ask me about debt. Now, here's the thing. Right now in this society, you really effectively can't buy a house without debt. So there's a lot of people with the philosophy, become debt-free, Dave Ramsey, etc. If you make good income and you have the ability to save up for the next 10 years and pay cash for a house, more power to you. But some people think debt's just all bad. Okay, a lot of debt is bad. There's a ton of stuff I could tell you about how destructive debt is. People misuse it, etc. There are a few situations where debt makes sense. It's called leveraging. Understand Donald Trump, worth $10 billion, got there primarily by leveraging through debt, okay? You may know that I like to play with real estate. I buy a thing and I sell a thing, and I buy a thing and I remodel it and I sell a thing, and I work with upper-end homes. I don't work with lower-end stuff because the market's saturated, Anybody who thinks they want to get into house flipping like all these infomercials, give it up. I can explain to you why it doesn't work. Everybody and their brother thinks they're doing it. They go to tax auctions, overpay for stuff. There's no money in it at all. Don't even try. But on the upper end, there's some opportunities. Once in a blue moon, I do it. I use debt to leverage, okay? I bought a house. We'll just say I won't get into the details of the numbers, but I made a 50% profit in a two-year period of time by using debt. The debt that I used over the years, I've had 30 years of pristine credit, a pretty solid base. I have a very sizable signature note at a bank that I can use to buy houses and stuff. But I use debt to leverage and make 50%. You better know what you're doing, though. Buying a house, if you need to put a roof over your kid's head and you can do the math and the mortgage payment's less than rent, or equal, and you get your own yard and you have your own place, it's okay to consider it per se. What you should do is save up enough for a down payment so you don't get PMI, private mortgage insurance. If you don't have 20% down, don't buy. Okay? Save until you do. Otherwise, you're getting buried, launched. Folks, we're out of time for the 50 millionth time. I thank you for tuning in. I want you to know we've got Christmas rounds, silver coins with beautiful Christmas themes on them. 1 ounce of silver. They're awesome gifts for Christmas. Come and get them. They run, I think, in the $22 range or so. They're beautiful. We got Christian themes. We got awesome stuff. Great gifts. Silver dollars make good gifts. Silver eagles, American silver eagles. We've got them every date from 1986 or 2017. You might be able to match up with someone's birthday. We got proof sets, silver proof sets. There's all kinds of cool stuff. Don't buy junk. Buy them something of value that's going to go up and build wealth, okay? As far as investing, you know it. You know the game. We do it. We're here. We always have, always will. Been real busy. If you left messages, I'll get back to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.